Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning into your favorite cousins and your favorite podcast. Join the cousins as we talk about trending topics, current events, dating, relationships, family, and so much more. Anything is up for discussion, so you definitely don't want to miss out on this cousins chat. New episodes are published every 2 weeks, and you can find us on Apple, Google Play, and Spotify. Thank you for joining us, and welcome to the party.
Everybody, hi, I am Cousin Lee.
Cousin Nadia is here.
And Cousin Sean is here.
And Cousin Tasha is here. Cousin Jay is here.
Okay, so we got two new cousins joining us today, kind of. Well, Jazz is not really new. She's on our episode one, but we have Cousin Tasha joining us. And Jazz is back with us. She's been a little busy, so she's going to join us tonight. So we're glad to have them on. So we're just going to jump into these topics. So the first topic we're going to talk about is Wendy Williams. This past week, talk show host Wendy Williams, in a very tearful admission, revealed on her TV show that she's been living in a sober house facility because she's been struggling with her addiction. And she didn't disclose the details of her current struggle, but apparently she's been staying there for some time now. And only the people that knew are her husband and her son. So, if you didn't know, Wendy Williams has a history of cocaine addiction. She also says that she combated this addiction on her own many years ago without any support. And she says this is the first time that she saw any type of real treatment for her addiction. When she made the admission, she shouted out her husband, Kevin, of course. She says,
boo.
My best friend is my lover. I'm still wearing my ring. And until you see me without it, you need to mind your business. So first of all, I want to applaud Wendy and anyone struggling with addiction for realizing that she needed support. And she's getting that support. But outside of that, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I was talking to a friend about Wendy Williams' addiction, and it was no secret that she battled drugs back in the day. She used to be on the radio here in Philadelphia, and that was always something that sometimes when Wendy would talk about people or had a little dirt, they would kind of throw that up in her face and be like, yeah, that's why you know, on crack, you know, like whatever. And then one day she was clean and she had a TV show. So I mean, I thought, well, that was good, she got sober. But then when you're dealing with whatever she was dealing with, she hasn't really talked into detail about her illness. But if there was any pain meds involved, that could be a big trigger for the fact that you haven't really dealt with your addiction. So, I mean, good for her for sharing it and being honest with people. But, you know, I guess, like, she's not really, I don't know, she's kind of like, it's like the pot calling the kettle black. Like, she loves to talk about people, she loves to talk about their gossip, but then, like, why not be as transparent as you want the celebrities to be? Or you know, like, it's not fair, almost. I think
right. Do you my thing is, I was kind of wondering, did she come out with this admission because somebody was about to die or not? That was kind of my thing. Like, was this one of those situations where somebody found out what was going on and it's like, okay, Wendy, we're about to air you out. So now she's going to, it's like, don't let nobody burn you with your own tea, right?
Right.
So I was wondering, was that the situation? Also, we all know the situation with her husband, Kevin, and this alleged mistress. That whole situation is just messy because as soon as she announced that on her show, later on that night, this photo surfaces online of him and his mission. So do you think that marital issues contributed to the sober house situation?
Well, actually, I just saw the shade room that she just gave birth to a girl, a baby girl.
Like today.
The mistress?
Yeah.
The mistress thing?
Yeah. Yes, ma'am. Yes,
literally
ma'am.
I just saw that before.
Wow. So,
I don't know if I'll be in a sober house, but I'll be in a jailhouse.
From what I read is that they paid cash for a hospital room, and he used a fake name, And he also did not sign the birth certificate. So, but obviously somebody recognized him.
He is not even that cute, but anyway.
But I mean, it ain't about looks, you know. But I did, Nadia, I did read the same thing on the Shade Room before we came on this call, and I don't know who the lady is that's on the Shade Room that allegedly broke this story. But apparently, she had the whole thing figured out. Like, she had the real name of the mistress, and she called the hospital and asked for her. Like, she had details
and confirmed. Inspector Gadget, yes.
Inspector Gadget had the tea. Like, she called and was able to verify that she was even on a labor and delivery unit, even that far about it. So all of this, of course, is alleged. We're not making any accusations here. But I think I'm wondering, you know, has this contributed to our relapse? Because if you are married and you love someone and you want your marriage to work, of course, regardless of what's going on, people have hard times. Do you feel like maybe this has been a contributing factor to her relapse of whatever relapse she's had?
I'm sure it has.
I think so. And gotta remember, she also, like Halloween last year when she fell out, they probably put her on some sort of medication. So you figure meds, that's going to contribute to a relapse also. If she's been sober, if she went cold turkey, didn't get treatment or anything, now all of a sudden you're taking a drug. I mean, you know. So,
yeah.
On top of the stress. And then it's
like, you know, then it's like, if this story is true, where the mistress did give birth to his baby, that's added stress where, you know, you got to pretend everything is okay. When then you go home and you know that your husband has another baby on the way.
Right. That's a lot. That is a whole lot.
Yeah.
So, I mean, in that situation, I do feel for her. I mean, we don't know what's going on, but again, she did get on TV and she talked about this, and I know it's something that she struggled with. She also plugged the Hunter Foundation, which is a nonprofit founded by her and her husband, and their foundation focuses on providing assistance for drug treatment programs, rehab, and prevention. So, as we wrap this topic, if you or a loved one is struggling with addiction, help is available to you. You can call the National Drug Helpline. It offers 24/7 drug and alcohol help, and you can call that by dialing 1-888-633-3239, and you can start your recovery today. And that is our good deed. So we're gonna move it right along. It's getting late. So the next thing that we said we were gonna talk about is Daniel Caesar. Mm. Now, this one particularly, you know, kind of burnt me this week. If you don't know who Daniel Caesar is, he is a Black Canadian singer who is best known for his hit song "Best Part." Now, I'm not gonna get on here
and sing it. Yeah, no.
No, if anybody want me to sing it later,
oh goodness,
let me know. You know, and I'll go ahead and give you a little musical context. But you can Google it. If you got Apple Music, you got Spotify, you got something. Even listen to the radio. You can hear a song on the radio. But anyway, he's known for his best song, Best Part. Anyways, Daniel Caesar was on his IG Live talking a little reckless this week. And this angered his fan base. So just to give a little context on why he had this IG rant. There's this social media personality / influencer / event host called Yes Jewel. She happens to be white. She posted a video criticizing two well-known Black female hip-hop entrepreneurs, and people started reading her for filth. So here comes Daniel Caesar with his cape on. to say the name, because he felt that people were giving her a hard time. So he goes on his IG Live asking people, why are people being so, and I'm quoting, why are people being so mean to Jewels? Why are we being so mean to white people? And he went on to say that Black people were rude and disrespectful to everyone else, and that race is sensitive when the energy is returned. And he also said that Black people often play the victim. Now, everybody knows that Daniel Caesar is not hot enough. Everybody knows Daniel Caesar is not hot enough to go up against the monster that we know as Black Twitter and Black IG. So of course he starts getting dragged and canceled from sea to shining sea after that IG Live. So what were your thoughts on that? I know I have some mixed feelings about that, actually. I know some people have some very strong opinions about his comments. Some people have some very light opinions. I'm kind of in the middle. What about you guys?
Well, so I've been like talking about it because I was like, he's canceled like right off the bat. And I was talking to my friend. He was like, but he's not a Black American. So he doesn't understand. And that plays a part in his understanding race relations in America and what he said. Yeah. But what bothered me was like he went to, you know, like I can see Daniel Caesar was kind of the kid that hung out with the white kids. And he was kind of into rock and roll and kind of into whatever. You know, he didn't have any Black friends because the Black friends made fun of him because he was an Oreo or he talked white or whatever. So I feel like all of that, his rant was brought on by those feelings that he never dealt with because he got picked on or he got bullied by some Black kids because he was different. And okay, that's a part of life, but you came out of your butt and said you need to get on the winning team because white people are the winning team. But you are singing R&B songs and getting that R&B dollars. You not out here singing indie music and got your rock and roll band. Like, you are singing R&B that Black people
are supporting.
Exactly. So you went right and attacked your fan base of people who were supporting you to tell us to get on the winning team. We not getting on the winning team, Daniel. Like, we good where we at. And it was
he surely
like,
ain't doing no duets with Nick Jonas. See, you doing a duet with
her. Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah.
I see you do no duet with Britney Spears or Jessica Simpson.
apparently he tried to holler at this girl, and that's kind of why he decided to defend her, because he feels some type of way about her. So
let me give some context on Yes Jewels, because honestly I had no idea who this girl was until this happened. But apparently Yes Jewels on several occasions has been accused of being a culture vulture. And for anyone who does not know what a culture vulture is, that is someone who appropriates a culture for their own benefit, where they adapt it to their privilege without giving homage to the creators or the culture that it came from. And also, one time, Yes Jewels was dragged on Twitter because she had a shirt and she posted it that said on it, and I quote, "Niggas lie a lot." Mm. Now, mind you, that's a white girl, okay?
out of line,
and she's known to be out of line, especially when it comes to Black people online. So for him to come to her defense, that is where it took a turn for me. Even in his comments, with his comments individually, that's the first thing I said, Lee, the same thing that your friend said. You know, he doesn't have any concept because he's from Canada, and he's from an area in Canada, I think it was Ontario. Mm-hmm. It's like a 3% Black population there. So, you know, he probably was the only Black kid in school. You know, as far as I'm concerned, he doesn't really have a voice. To me, his view is very distorted. He doesn't have a concept on race relations or the current climate here in America because he's not from here.
Well, then he just need to go back to Canada and eat some bacon or something, because you only come down here speaking on stuff you don't know about.
I was okay with that explanation until Lee said that he said join the winning team.
Yeah, like, he ended that with join the winning team. Like, white people are the winning team. And he was intoxicated. But people say that, you know, truthful words come from when you're intoxicated.
Right.
So he meant that.
Because honestly, I didn't really follow the story much. Like, I saw it popping up on my Instagram, but I just didn't click on it because I'm just like, whatever, I'm over it.
Right.
But the whole Black Canadian, I can kind of like, okay, whatever, we'll use that excuse. You're not American. If that's what we're going to rock with, okay. We'll pretend that that's your excuse, but join the winning team. Like, so what the hell is that? Like, what are you talking about? I don't know. I'm at a loss right now.
At first I was feeling like, I feel like he's ignorant and experienced, you know, because it's like, it's like I didn't want to believe that his misunderstanding was intentional more so than uneducated, right, because his opinion is rooted in his own experience. Right. And you have some Black people who know exactly how race and white supremacy works, and they have an intentional blind eye to it. I'm not feeling like he has an intentional blind eye. I feel like he's very uneducated. He's very
ignorant. He was only born in 1995, so he doesn't know anything about anything. So, I mean...
But I also feel like anybody that has a blind eye in this climate, they are closing their eyes on purpose. It's almost like you're choosing to have a blind eye. With everything that's going on, American or not, born in 1995 or not, like, it's in our face right now. Like, you have to watch what you say. Like, bottom line. So... I feel like that's just my opinion. I feel like he's choosing to be blind. So,
yeah, and that could very well, because again, I think that ignorance only goes as far as you let it. Ultimately, like if you're ignorant about something, you should educate yourself. Like when he made the statement at first, where he's like, some Black people. I think when he was talking, he was making some comments like, some Black people are loud and disrespectful. So I was like, that you might be somewhere with that. But it took a turn for me when he was like, we're sensitive. And I'm like, okay, he doesn't have a concept that race is sensitive to us.
Right.
And that is the part where it took a turn for me. And not only that, you came to this girl's defense, someone who's been known to be disrespectful to people of color. You came to her defense, and the language that you used in defending her, that's where you get the side eye from me. I do think that most of his perspective is due to lack of knowledge, but to me, you just don't know what to say out your mouth. And I'm like, I don't know. That's why I ride the fence. I don't know if he's canceled to y'all? I don't know if I'm canceling him yet.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm canceling him yet. I do feel like y'all were saying he just might be a little ignorant. I just feel like, why did he feel like he need to say anything?
Anyway? Right. Why you got to come to
her? Yeah. Why he had to put his cape on and come to her defense? Like, yeah, he just had to be quiet. If anything, he could have
sent
her a little text, like, keep your head up.
But you know what? You know how the saying goes: all skin folk ain't kin folk. Right. So, I mean, again, I don't know. I don't know if I would go as far as to say that he's anti-Black or he's Uncle Tom, but you know, Black people not featuring him right now. So a lot of people just put him on the back burner. So he ain't invited to the cookout.
I mean, unfortunately, we went to that concert in the summertime and he was there, and it was a mixed concert. You know, there were some people of different races. If he's going to be on a platform and use his voice in whatever way he uses his voice, like, he has to be careful, because those people out in the audience, they were introduced to Daniel Caesar, but they're like, oh, he's on the winning team, he's with us. Mm-hmm. And if you need to use your voice to be like, hey, people out there listening to my music, this is what we need you to do to be an ally. Like, that's the scary part. He has so much power at such a young age that he needs to use it differently instead of capping for this problematic influencer.
He can be canceled.
Right.
I'm fine with it.
Like, I mean, I just, yeah, we just have to be careful there. Just because
we
in this day and age.
Like,
right. Yeah, look, she is canceled.
Exactly.
Too.
And he ain't coming to my barbecue. Go down to Jewel's barbecue. Right. When
well, he's not coming. I'm not having no Canadians
salad
at my barbecue anyway. So
he go down to Jewel's barbecue where they put the raisins and the potato salad. They barbecue some tofu or something like that.
I just think it's like a different time barbecue with social media, with Twitter, with Instagram, because people can make these live videos. Like, if our favorite artists were problematic back in the day, they were problematic in a television interview. They were not problematic on their own, mm-hmm, getting on IG and, like, going on a rant. So we didn't know that they had these issues. And so we felt differently about them. But people put them on a pedestal. So if you're on this pedestal, you got to use it wisely. And I think
I also think with that, back in the day, people were more informed.
Right.
Nowadays, people are just so fast to just jump off the handle, mm-hmm, and just fly and say whatever,
No,
they're not taking the they're not taking the time to say, okay, well, let me sit down and let me take some notes and let me do a little bit of research before I say anything.
And I think a lot of these people don't have any media training. I mean, we talk about that all the time. Like, there's no team to tell them, like, hey, don't say that. You know, like, be careful.
Right.
They just out here just all willy-nilly just saying, you know, join the winning team. And nobody is there being like, yeah, no, you're not going to say that. So, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Social media, because social media is so big to some of these celebrities, I think that they feel that that's their way of connecting with their fan base. And like you said, forgetting that you are in a public eye, you do have a platform, and people are going to take your comments to heart. They're going to drag you. They're going to burn you with your own tea. So you need to be careful. And I think, again, this is one of those situations where he just should have kept his mouth shut, I think. Even if he, and you're running to the defense of someone, like I said, that has been known to be very disrespectful to Black people. So it's just like, okay, what you really doing here?
Mm-hmm.
What are you really doing here? So, again, I'll say, once again, before we move on, all skin folk ain't kin folk. So the Jesus must not be Black. Okay,
no. He's like but anyway, a different kind of him, Black.
He a different kind of Black. So we just gonna move on. I don't know if he canceled yet, but definitely not at the barbecue. So I better not see him at nobody's barbecue. But I don't know if he canceled
not yet, but he got it.
We're gonna think about it.
I'm just saying. If he gonna be the one that bring that container to the barbecue that don't nobody touch, that's still gonna be there.
Because he's gonna bring Jules with him.
He's gonna be the one to put the raisins in the potato salad.
Exactly. And everybody gonna look at it and say, cover that up, baby. Cover that back up, baby. Exactly.
Okay, well, our last topic for the night. So we're gonna talk about dating outside of our race. This is gonna be interesting. So about a week or two ago, there was this clip circulating on social media of a clip of The Real where Lonnie talked about dating a white man. And she said it was about compatibility, not race. Also on that episode, the guest host, actress Yvette Nicole Brown, she interjected and she said something that stuck out to me. And I'm going to paraphrase what she said. She stated that in the case of most Black women dating white men, most of them don't start there. They give a lot of chances, and by chances she means to Black men, and that while she's down for the brown, if anyone sees her with the other,
mind your business.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And then Lonnie came back and said that she's been dating Black men for 47 years, and it takes this one white man to show her love, and now people want to talk about her. So first question I got for you ladies is, have you ever dated outside your race? And if you haven't, would you consider it?
No and no.
Okay, we know how Jazz feel. Why not?
I don't know. I just feel like even if we got into a serious relationship, it would be hard for him to understand some of the things that I would go through as a Black woman. And then I think it would be really hard for my dad to accept him. And that's a huge problem for me too, because I want them to have that relationship.
Right.
Well, my question to you, Jazz, is if you started dating a white man and you truly, truly loved him, what would you sit there and say, okay, I love this man, I want to be with this man, but the fact that I don't think he understands or whatever, or I don't think my dad would accept him, is going to stop me from having true love?
No, I just don't think that I would ever let myself get to that point with someone of another race. You know, like, I know that's how I feel about it, so I just kind of stay away from it. So, and I've never been to a point where I felt like I was over Black men, so... Yeah, I may eat my words later, but that's
right. Right, and just for some context too, Jazz is the young and other group, right. So she, you know, she may have a little whole different perspective. Anybody else? Lee?
Back in college, I dated two guys that were white. One, he kind of hung with all the black people, so he kind of thought, you know, he was black too. But, you know, another guy was in the military, but his family was very multicultural, and, you know, his brother, they had adopted, he was Asian, so he was, like, a little different. He was, like, you know, he wasn't just, his just family was just very multicultural and open. And it just kind of, there was nothing, we just kind of grew apart, so that's why I didn't go anywhere. But I was thinking about it, and we are all, you know, highly educated. And sometimes it's hard to find people on your level. So, you know, there are black men out there that are college educated and higher advanced degrees and stuff like that. But sometimes to find your equal, that's not going to be a black man. You know, it might be a somebody else that has the same amount of education that you have, or is into the things that you're into. He might be a man of a different complexion, because black women right now are like the highest educated group of people. So where are you going to find your equal? You know, are you going to get a blue collar man, or are you going to go out there and you're going to get a man with advanced degrees as a doctor?
And sometimes it's just not even an education level. Sometimes it's just a mental level.
Right.
That's like true. Sometimes men are just not on that mental level that you would like them to be. And, you know, you just find yourself going in that same circle, in that same circle, in that same circle. And then you just get tired.
Well, like, I know for me now personally, I understand exactly what Yvette was saying. You know, I'm definitely and I definitely would like to see my forever with a beautiful, strong black man. But at this age, you know, I think only considering race limits my ability to find a good relationship. So I'm not going to say that I'm jumping out there, but, you know, I think about it from time to time. And Lonnie was saying, you know, at a point, is does it stop becoming about race and become about compatibility?
If I can interject, though, I just think that, like, right now, like, I'm on the side of no, I haven't, and no, I don't think I would. Just because, just because of the climate that we're in right now, like, I just feel like if somebody would have asked me this maybe 5 years ago, maybe 10 years ago, I'd have been like, I'm open. But, like, there's so much that we're dealing with right now as a race, and I'm a side eye him every chance I get if he says something that sounds too crazy to me. Like, that's just the bottom line.
Right.
I don't want to, but it's just, we're in this mega country right now. Like, it's just too much. There's just too much. And I just feel like he's never going to understand why I might be in my feelings, or why I'm sensitive about a certain topic. As much as he says that he understand it, like, I can't get that from him. So,
child, with us, when you go all waiting to exhale, you set it on fire.
Right.
I, like, he could be, like, sensitive to my needs and be trying to treat me right. But then the minute I turn the TV on and there's another black little boy shot by the cops, like, I'm going to have these feelings, and I can't, he's not going to understand me.
Right.
And that's a level that no matter what, no matter what other places in my life he touches, he can't touch that. So,
and I actually have a girlfriend who's actually dating a white guy right now. And she made that comment, that exact thing. She's like, they really got into a heated debate about a race-related issue that was going on at the time. And she was saying that he really couldn't catch the concept of why she was so upset. She said that he wasn't being disrespectful to her, and he wasn't like antagonizing her or anything, but she said she was really having these feelings, and he couldn't connect with that. And she said it made her even more upset because he couldn't understand. And she's like, she had to check herself, and it's like, well, why would he understand when he doesn't have the same fear that I
right. And it's not his fault. He's not right. supposed to understand. But I need somebody that's going to understand with me when I'm right. sitting there pissed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And I think, you know, this goes back to the Daniel Caesar topic. Mm-hmm. It's just that, you know, other races are ignorant to our race. And we can't blame them. We can't, you know, say, you know, it's your fault. It's just that they're not informed. They don't have the same experiences that we have. Mm-hmm. Like, we can't sit there and say, oh, we can't get mad at the Asian people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I was dating an Asian guy, and he wanted to move his mom in and his sisters in and his four brothers and sisters in and this, that, and the third, I can't get mad, but that's the experience that they have because that might be their culture and that's how they live.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I don't have that experience. I'm used to living with my mom and my sister, and then we separate and we go our separate ways and everybody's all happy because we don't have to try to kill each other anymore.
It is a different experience, but you know, I'm in a space too where, you know, I think when it comes down to what you need, what you want and expect, and who is able to fulfill that, you know, I don't believe that there's a lack of good Black men out here, but I do think that there's just a lack of good men, period. Mm-hmm. So for that reason, I think that sometimes, like, as Black women, we start looking, I think that there is an increase of women that are considering outside of their race because they are like, look, am I limiting myself? And I read a blog about that a while ago. Do you think that Black women limit themselves by only dating inside of their race?
Sometimes, yes. Yes, probably. But
and do you think that makes you any less Black, or does it make you a traitor because you don't date within your race?
No, I don't think it makes you a traitor. I just think that it's not for me, but it could be for someone else. But we still gonna have the same Black woman experience regardless of who you're dating. So I could never say that makes her less Black, you know?
Right. And I always had this thing too, like much like what Jazz was saying, you want to bring someone home that your dad or your family can connect with. And I won't, there's a particular uncle of mine who explicitly said to me, don't bring no white boy around here. And I won't say his name, but he said, please. And he wasn't real, he wasn't negative or mean about it. He just said, please, whatever. Like, please don't do it. And I'm like, but if I get to that place in my life where I need something more and I want something more and I'm not finding it, you know, with the brown, and I bring home a white or a beige, you know, mm-hmm. you're not going to like them. He's like, I'm not going to say I'm not going to like them, but I just, please don't.
Right.
It's things like that that I keep in the back of my mind. It's like, I don't want to give up on expecting that I'm going to find my great husband or my great love in a Black man. But again, at the age that I'm at right now, and in a place where you got a mother who's asking you
for grandbabies,
babies and such, it's like, well, hey, you know, Brother Brown, you know, I ain't really finding no brother that's like really giving me what I need. Not to say that I found a other that is giving me what I need, but am I limiting myself? And that's where my thought goes right now. It's like, am I limiting myself by only saying I will only date Black men?
See, but, and you know what, to touch back on what you said about there being a lack of good Black men, I think what that is, I think a lot of Black women have decided to settle
mm-hmm.
for what is considered the Black man today.
Mm.
So, you know, they settle for the Black man who they know cheats. Nope. And I'm just saying.
She leaving us out the house, right?
They settle for the Black man who sits in front of the TV and plays video games all day, and he doesn't want to work, or, you know, even if, when he takes you out on a date, he doesn't open a door for you.
Well, I don't think that I get the concept that you're coming with, but I also think that, you know, that goes into the concept of women just having expectations and settling for someone who does not meet her expectation. You have a lot of men, I don't think it's just black men, it's just a lot of men, period, who just it's generational. Like, this generation of men, black or white, I feel, are just different. Mm-hmm. Like, these 2018, 2017, 2018, 2019 men just different. And I don't think that that necessarily has anything to do with race. I think it's just men, period.
Awesome.
Like, because the same issues that I talk about, I hear women of other races talk about the same issues.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I kind of also think it has to do with environment, because if you're dating the same type of guy over and over, it might not be necessarily because he's black. It's because you're picking from the same pool.
Right.
Like, and then we quick to be like, oh, I don't like him because he's corny. Like, look at the whole Russell Wilson thing. That is a stand-up black man. But there are so many women.
He's like, unicorn, baby.
It's so many black women who thought how corny he was. And he's treating Sierra nothing but right. But what was she supposed to do? What was she supposed to do? Just be with Future for the sake of being with a hood black nigga, you know what I'm saying?
I'm trying to decipher that prayer. I'm going all up in her DMs asking her for that prayer.
We'll have a black man that's capable of loving us, but on the surface, he's too corny. So then we don't give it a chance.
What did you call that, Sean? You called that trauma. What Nikki had a word for it? It was trauma, love, or something
like
that.
We all guilty,
like,
of it, even if we don't realize it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, like I was saying this not too long ago to my sister, I was like, I didn't realize it, but I have a type. Like, every boyfriend I ever had, mm-hmm, were similar as far as, like, mm-hmm, the way they look, their swag, the way they talk. Like, not on purpose, but we got a type. So you have to break out of your type. He could still be black, but that's where I was going wrong, so...
That's true. Like, when it comes down to, like I used to, I joke about this from time to time with some of my friends, and I'm like, you know, if I ever dated a white guy, he got to be white. Like, he can't be white acting like anybody else other than his race. Like, he got to be white, like, shorts above the knee. Like, your mama cooking that green bean casserole
with the onions, right?
You gotta be that kind of white. I was like, you gotta be the kind of white that your family don't really like me, but they tolerate me because you love me, white. Oh, like, you have to be exactly who you are. I'm like, you have to be exactly who you are. And I was like, I think that's where it kind of takes a turn for me, because I wouldn't be anybody other than myself. Mm-hmm. So if you couldn't accept me for me, and I can't accept you for you, then why would I date you?
Mm-hmm. Well, so, look, you know, sometimes you just got to let go of the Brahims and go get you a Billy. All right.
I said I'm about sick of the Jermaines. I'm gonna have to find
get you a Joshua. Yes.
I mean, but look at women. I mean, look at women like Lonnie. I mean, Lonnie looks happy.
Yeah, she does.
You know
really
what I mean?
Does.
Eve got up out of here and went. Look at Eve. Look at Rihanna.
Eve got a whole billionaire. What you mean?
Exactly.
Okay. What you mean?
Right. And I mean, and left the whole United States, mind you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Eve don't never have to make another song a day in her life.
She better not be making another song.
Not one song.
Take a pass. And who's the recently served? Tamron Hall. Tamron Hall just revealed that she's pregnant. And she has a whole white husband. I mean, it's just so many. It's like people, I'm seeing more influx of black women that are finding their forever with someone outside of their race. And again, I don't think that makes you any less black, but it does come to that question. Are we limiting? Do you limit yourself? And then you also, on the flip side, you also have to look at the fact of how you see how strong we feel about it. you still got these black men and white women.
Exactly. And nobody, they could do it with no problem. Oh, go ahead, do you, get you a Becky. It's all good. But when a black woman does it, mm-hmm. there's a problem. I mean, there's just a double standard in our culture. Mm-hmm. So,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah, we can unpack this so many different ways. But we're going to leave it right there. Mm-hmm. We're going to leave it right there. Again, this is one of those topics that I feel like we'll talk about in later episodes as things happen. So,
look, if there's any Billies out there, y'all can leave your name and information on our Facebook page.
But excuse me. Is the person who just said last week that light-skinned dude...
light-skinned African-American men, okay? I said Billy.
But you'll take Billy.
Look here. I'll take Billy. I'm about to go sign up for farmersonly.com.
Oh, my God.
Give me a man that can sling some hay, that drives around on a tractor all day, okay?
Oh, goodness.
And I'm about to be out on a farm.
Girl, you are nobody's farm. Nobody's farm.
It's all right. It's all right. I'll drive the 10 miles to Walmart every single day. Okay? And spend my days up in Walmart down in Boogajaloop, Kentucky. Okay? Because that's probably where I'm going to have to live, in Boogajaloop. Because don't nobody know the name of the country down there. All right?
Right. All right, ladies. Well, it is getting late. It's been a good talk with you all, as usual. And we should touch base next week.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yes.
So make sure you please post your comments on our Facebook page if you want to get involved in the discussion. Tell us what you think about interracial dating. Send us an email at yourfavecousins@gmail.com. And we will talk to you soon.
Bye. Good night.